Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is Instance episode 661. It is January 7th. Sorry. Yeah, it is the 7th. Tomorrow's the 8th. 2022. Ooh, I got to get used to saying that. I've screwed it up a couple of times, but not today. 2022. Brand new year. And that means we're back. Thanks for joining us. My name is Scott Johnson. Garrett Winesville joining us also. Hello, Garrett.
Nice to see you.
And Jocelyn's here also. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Garrett.
Hi. I watched a bunch of your stream on New Year's. That was fun.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Good. I'm glad. I had a lot of fun playing, even though I lost horribly. I can't rogue.
Yeah.
I've tried since the beginning of Hearthstone. I just can't rogue.
Can't do it. Why did you decide to rogue that night? Why
not? I thought it'd be entertaining. Oh.
I think it was. It was fun to watch you be frustrated with your deck.
Well, then I should stream
so many decisions, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like why people like to watch me play scary games. They want to see me scream.
Yeah.
So I totally understand. Well, anyway, it's good to have you both here. We're back. It's a brand new year of content, and I did want to let people know, top of the show here, it was kind of a big deal for me, so I'm glad it's out there and up and people can actually check it out now. We launched Play Retro on the network on Monday, and if you haven't heard of it, it's a brand new podcast that focuses entirely on the retro scene in gaming, arcades, old consoles, that kind of stuff. And we did a deep dive on Joust, and not just why is it great, and maybe the greatest arcade game of all time, in my opinion, but also where did it come from? Who came up with it? What are those programmers doing now? What games were inspired by it? What games were full-on ripoffs of it? I'm looking at you, Balloon Fight. Anyway, if you want to learn more and check that out, me and Brian Dunaway doing it on the weekly, check it out at frogpants.com/playretro or just Play Retro wherever you get your shows. All right, let's get into our big topic today. I don't know if you guys heard, but on, what day is it? Tuesday night, Sony and head of PlayStation got up on stage for a keynote at CES, Consumer Electronics Show. And despite the fact that a lot of people pulled out of that thing, some stuff did still happen and some decent announcements came out of it. One of them was that the PlayStation division of Sony is working on a virtual reality follow-up to their VR headset for the PlayStation 4 called VR2, and it's coming to the PlayStation 5 exclusively. We don't have dates or even pictures or even anything much beyond that. We do have some specs. We'll get into that in a second. But this does act as an interesting jumping off point for what we wanted to discuss today, which is, as gamers who have been pretty, you know, around this stuff for a long time, pretty seasoned in things like MMOs and some of the bigger kind of core experiences you expect in a modern gaming world, whether or not we think that VR fits in that space or has a place there, or if everything's headed that direction, where does it leave us? These kinds of questions. We're going to talk about all of that. But first, let's look at these specs just for the sake of doing it. These are 4K OLED displays. That's per eye. They support HDR and 120Hz refresh. So good high specs for the optics. 110-degree field of view. The actual resolution per eye is 2000 by 2040 per eye. So technically that's 4K in total, I guess. Yeah.
Bringing a whole new meaning to the acronym PPE.
PPE. That's right. I love saying PPE. It's fun to say. Inside out tracking. So no more towers or cameras. You don't need that PlayStation camera thing anymore. It's a lot more like the way the Quests and, you know, untethered headsets work today. The sort of inside out tracking is kind of the future. It will support 3D audio and, interestingly, something they're calling sense feedback or haptic feedback in the headset itself. you'll feel the headshots, for example. So you're running around playing.
Who asks for that?
Well, see,
I
now
I want to feel like I got shot in the head. Thing.
I know. I have big questions about the intensity, right? Yeah. Will it be super intense? Will it be a mild little like, what's it going to be? My guess is it's not going to be much because they can't do it without much, you know?
I used to be, in my younger years, very into paintball.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I thought of was you never got used to getting shot in the helmet because if you've ever put a bucket on your head as a kid and your sibling smacked it with a spoon, it's not a dissimilar experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
imagine the spoons hitting at the speed of a car on the freeway.
Yeah. Well, my guess is to get this thing approved for human use, it's going to be a real mild little buzz. Like, it'll purely be like, if it's directional.
I don't want to dial it up to paintball mode, my point.
Right. I get you. Maybe there's a way to crank it up. Maybe you'll have user control over that. But the idea of, imagine you think you're in a nice little spot in a bunker in some sort of VR shooter, and you think you're out of everybody's purview or whatever, and then you get a little tink in the back of your head, knowing that it came that direction and is in kind of, you know, it responded in a very three-dimensional way. That does intrigue me, although I'd be dead, right?
I'm pretty sure if you get headshot, though, like, that knowledge isn't actually going to help you because you're just going
to
be dead.
I was about to say, I'm like, what game are you playing? Because even in Halo where there's shields, if it's a sniper round, you're dead.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. Like, nobody in real life goes, you know, gets a 50 caliber to the head and goes, oh, interesting, it came from the back left.
It came from back there.
Yeah. Well, my opponents in PUBG do because they're cheating assholes like everyone in PUBG.
Well, those guys. PUBG probably will end up supporting this. There was some rumor about that. But anyway, haptic feedback in the headset. Who knows what that means? And I'm super curious about it. Here's the bummer. If there's a bummer about the announcement at all, because most of it sounds pretty good, is that it will be tethered. Makes sense. The PS5 is what drives this. Not, you know, the headset itself, but that does feel a little antithetical to the way all this stuff is moving. The big money is in portability and non-tethering. By far and away, the current Quest 1 and Quest 2 headsets are the sales leaders out there. And you could argue that that's mostly because they're untethered, but they can also be tethered to a PC and be used in that way. I don't know what I would have expected here, because having it be untethered would have been akin to saying, well, either you better have some really low latency wireless technology, which doesn't really exist for this kind of throughput, or the headset itself will have to be the entire enclosed ecosystem. Like, that would be where your store would be, and it would be separate from your PlayStation. Well, why would they do that? The whole point is to stack up, you know, stack this against their install base of PlayStations. And just like it was with the 4. They also sold a lot of PlayStation headsets for the 4, more than I think anybody expected them to, especially given the history of accessories and consoles. They just don't sell one-to-one, and they did pretty well. No, like I said, no images, no release dates announced, or even a price for that matter. We have no idea what this stuff will be, but we do have an indication anyway that it will be this year, because they will have support at launch for a game called Horizon Up the Mountain. Now, don't be confused with Forbidden West, but the idea is that... Or Forza, for that matter. Forbidden West will be out, and then this will hit. And if it's close to each other, well, then it would make sense that the headset maybe launches when this Up the Mountain experience comes out. Up until yesterday, I was confused. I thought they were saying the entirety of Forbidden West would be playable in VR. But that doesn't make sense, because it's a third-person action game, and also, I don't know, just feels like you'd have to really wedge some things in there, so it seems like a bad idea. But anyway, so those are the specs on the thing, and this comes on the heels of a whole bunch of rumors that are circulating, and some of them from very reputable sources who are often right about this stuff. For example, Apple has something ready to show this year. I've heard that from multiple sources who have been correct about these kind of rumors before. Like them or hate them, when Apple does something, it tends to perk up the industry and everything starts to roll. It's just kind of how it goes. So whether they make something good or not, it doesn't matter. That is a hallmark. That is a benchmark of, oh, okay, this is more than just a small niche. We're actually going to get into a more of a mainstream thing here. So that has a lot of potential. The Meta Quest 3 will probably be announced, if not shipped this year. There's possible stuff going around at Microsoft with Xbox and PC plans, refreshes on the Valve Index product, and possibly their own portable sort of competitor that would work with either the new, what do you call the new, the Steam Deck that's coming out, or on its own. So there's a bunch of talk like that. And there's constant chatter these days about the metaverse and what the metaverse is and how it'll all connect to each other. And we'll be playing an MMO, but then we can be right in the middle of that experience, walk through a portal that is Target so I can go do my shopping and then walk right back into the MMO I'm playing. A lot of talk about that stuff. So we're going to talk about that stuff, you know, to whatever degree we want to, whether or not we think this future is for us, or if it's for real. Like, personally, I think it's all coming whether we like it or not. I think we are headed toward a place where we have very light, unobtrusive, long battery life, affordable things on our heads that take us into a mixed reality of sorts, be it virtual or AR, and we are going to be interacting with each other and the world in all kinds of new ways. In the next 10 years, that is going to be a thing. The question is, for me, who will be the big players in those things? Whose headsets are we going to be wearing? Who will dominate that? Is it going to be too many individual walled gardens and we're just jumping between them? Or will it be more like the internet itself where we can go anywhere we want, anytime we want, with a click of a couple of buttons? And does that make it interesting for us as grindy gamers? Like, we want to play what we want to play. Will this push us out to like old people pasture and make us long for, you know, joysticks and CRTs? Or where are we going to jump in? So based on that little introduction, Garrett, I know you have opinions. Let's start with you. Just the overall, where do you think we're going? And are you going to go with
VR? is one of the cooler experiences I've had that I also think sucks horribly. Like, I've had really cool experiences in VR that are definitely unlike any other game experience I've ever had. But I think VR is the most inconvenient experience I've ever had in gaming. I don't think it going wireless has really helped, because stuff like the Quest, it's like, well,
honking thing on your noggin is what you're saying.
It's still a big honking thing on your noggin, which is part of it.
Yeah.
But it's also just like having to like get bought into that storefront, and I don't have personal experience with like trying to tether it to my PC to then play Steam games and stuff, but I haven't heard a single positive thing from anyone who has tried.
Oh, I did okay with it. I ended up doing that and it was fine for me. I didn't have any issues, but I don't know. That experience may vary because obviously it's a workaround kind of, you know.
Must have gotten better then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have whatever the final generation of the Oculus was before they started calling it Meta.
So the Rift. Oh no, the Quest. You got the Quest 1 probably. Although the Quest 2 sold under the Facebook name until.
No, it's only tethered. It's not wireless.
Oh, it is tethered. It's a Rift then.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a Rift. Yeah. It's whatever the final Rift was.
Yeah.
So that's what I have. And I got it because I was really freaking excited for Star Wars Squadrons. Because something I've always wanted to do is sit in front inside of a damn X-Wing and blow things up.
Sure.
And Squadrons lets me do that. And it is one of the absolutely coolest experiences I've ever had in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I still haven't beaten it. And there's a layer of dust about an inch thick on that on that headset, because it is such a production to play that and have that experience.
Right.
It's not easy. It's not easy to do. And as I've gotten older, I have really put a lot more stock in having relaxing, easy to experience gaming experiences. I am spending more time playing on my couch since getting the new Xbox than I have on my much more capable PC.
Sure. Yeah. I don't disagree with any of that. I find myself in a similar position. I wonder what at this level of this conversation that we're at right now, we have someone in the room who gets sick playing VR. Jocelyn, yeah. I'd like to hear more from
about my vomiting experience.
Yeah, like the motion challenged of us in this world, and there are plenty of us. My wife can't do VR for exactly that reason. She makes her super sick almost immediately. She's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm gonna hurl."
And I can't even, like, if someone else is playing VR and all I can see is like what's happening on the TV, I can't even watch that. Like, I have to like avert my eyes because it just makes me nauseous. Oh, like, wow. Even without the headset on.
Yeah.
Now, I honestly think watching
plenty of first person things, but for some reason, just the way the world moves around you when you're in VR, it just really throws me off.
Mm.
I don't get motion sick, but I find watching VR footage horrible. Like, there's a thing with like subtle head movements, like where, and there's like science to it too, where our eyes stabilize our jerky head movements. But if you're watching something captured on someone else's jerky head movement, it's a lot more disorienting than if you were just experiencing it yourself. GoPro footage and, you know, action cameras are very much the same way.
Yeah.
Those do the same thing. Like, I can't watch that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's funny because I don't like watching VR footage. I'm totally fine playing in VR. I can eat a 4-course meal and get on a roller coaster. I'm fine.
That's the thing that I always found crazy about VR with me is I can do like crazy roller coasters. I can do big drops. I can read in the car. Like, I've never had any issues with any. Oh, yeah.
That's fascinating.
Totally fine. But then as soon as I go into VR, it's like, this isn't real. And my brain just goes, bleh.
I have quite a few friends who can't do VR, but they also tend to get like car sick.
I mean, I play Hearthstone in the car, like, so I can even do screens in a car. Like, it doesn't matter. It does nothing like that has ever bothered me.
Oh, that's interesting. I also, like in Kim's case, she gets very car sick unless she's driving and she can't read in a car. It would kill her. So I also assume there was like a connection there. But obviously that's not entirely true. So what it sounds like to me is the effect of VR is actually hitting you in a really strong way. It's saying to you, hey, check it out. We're in here moving around. And your brain goes, I know I'm not really here. And that argument is just maybe a little more sensitive in your head or something. Who knows?
Yeah, it's like my brain's too smart for VR or something. Yeah. It can't get tricked enough.
it's a weird thing. And having it be so diverse for different people, this is the one thing I get worried about. Because we're talking about moving into a space where perhaps, you know, it becomes a primary interface for how we experience games and digital worlds and whatever. And if that's true, I don't want to be locking out a few million sensitive, you know, people like you who ended up walking away from this feeling like, ugh, I can't do this. Like, that sucks. That seems bad. That seems antithetical to we're all in here together, but sorry, all you people who get sick or have motion sickness or...
Well, I mean, it almost comes back to the accessibility conversation, right? Like, are they going to make games? Because this is one of my big fears, is that we will go forward with all of this VR stuff. It'll get into smaller and smaller headsets that become easier and easier to use. Because I think, like, ease of use is a big problem, like Garrett was talking about before. Like, it's cool tech, but if it's a pain in the ass to set up, I'm just going to pick up my controller. So, like, if it gets smaller and smaller and easier to use and companies go, oh, hey, we can build these cool experiences, and I'm sitting here going, but I can't do that. Then, well, I just can't be a gamer anymore. Like,
right,
it sucks.
Right. That's a way. There is a feeling of like, well, I don't want to be pushed into some corner just because of a trend or the trends are going this direction. It's not like how a lot of artists feel when people are trying to shove NFT stuff down our throats and stuff. It's like the similar feeling of like, wait a minute, I got a way I like doing things. And then I always have to say, all right, well, wait a minute though. Maybe I don't want to be that guy at like 70 going, oh, these kids. I just don't want to be that guy.
Kids in their VR.
Yeah. I want to know. I want to embrace change. And when change comes, I want to be ready for it. I always have been that way in my life. Even in my young years, I would see a thing and my parents would go, oh, I don't know. And I'd say, oh, I do. Like, I want that sort of stuff to happen, but I don't want people to be left out of it. Here's the thing though. I think this all follows the pattern that phones did. And you could even say the pattern that PCs did, but I think phones make a better analogy, and it's also more recent. You know, in the 90s, we had really awkward, horrible ways to communicate with each other, whether it was pagers. I mean, pagers are ridiculous if you think about them. You call a dude's thing, it rings on the thing, it buzzes them with the number you called from. You got to go find a phone and then call somebody at the number on the thing and then talk to them. Like, it's the most workaroundy, bullcrappy way to do anything ever. but it was a step in this direction. And then the steps got faster, smarter, cheaper, more accessible. And now we don't even think about it. We have these extremely powerful computers in our pockets that we rely on all the time for all sorts of things, the least of which is its actual phone capability. I never talk to anybody anymore on my freaking phone. It's all text. It's all messages.
I always assume someone's died. If someone's calling me, I'm like, oh, yeah. This is a death call.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I'm like, oh, no. Except my mom, because mom loves talking. I love you, mom. But yeah, anyone else, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Something what, terrible has
what
happened.
What has happened?
Yeah. But we're gonna. But now we're at a place now where, you know, it's fast, like really fast, unbelievably fast compared to what we used to think phones could be capable of. And the things we're doing with our phones, we don't even think about it. We're taking like professional level SLR style photographs on a phone these days. Like we're doing things we never thought we'd do in that space, and it feels natural and easy, and you just don't have to think that much about it. I think VR and AR, for that matter, mixed reality as a whole, has to get there before we see it be the thing we need it to be to answer all these questions like, will I game there? Will I find entertainment there? Will I spend time with people there? Like this metaverse stuff, the reason people are excited about it is we are finally getting to a place where the fidelity can do it. That isn't the problem anymore. Like the Quest 2 in particular is capable of rendering beautifully 120 frame per second, high res reality experiences, virtual reality experiences that are photorealistic in many ways. And we no longer have to keep pushing that envelope, but that's at a place where that fidelity is functional. What isn't there yet is it needs to be this big. These glasses I'm about to put on, that needs to be it. Until we get to this, which I would compare to a slim cell phone in your pocket, then there's still questions about the viability of it all. But once it's this,
wasn't it that though? Like, because we had Google Glass a little while ago, and I don't pay attention to tech that much unless it's starting to get into my video games. But like, wasn't that a thing?
Well, it was a thing, but it wasn't. It was $3,000.
Yeah, everyone hated it.
It was a thing, but they were $3,000. And they were never a fully ready to sell to the people thing. It was not like I think you could go to a Best Buy and grab the latest set.
I never saw them and I never knew anyone that had them. But
I freaking wanted one. I thought they were cool for that very reason. Because I'm with you, Scott. Like they need to be, like you said, easy and like a natural experience.
Yeah.
I think they do need to get more to like glasses size. You know, maybe they look like grandma's glasses that go over the regular glasses for driving.
Sure.
So that you get a little bit more of a 360 thing, like, you know, but yeah, I think you need to be able to like instantly go to like a transparency where I can see the damn outside world again and have layers of opacity between that.
And keep in mind, these were not, they were not a report. They were purely an AR device and they only did like little overlays and stuff. So they weren't even a particularly capable AR device. It was mostly like, here's a little menu that popped down that said you got an email notification. It was that sort of thing and some map stuff and some, you know, walk around in the world and see things stuff. But I think the reason that they canned that project is because that was only going to last so long as a stepping stone. You know, it's a bit like, I don't know, the Diamond Rio MP3 players to the iPod. It's like, yeah, go ahead and make it, but pretty soon this stuff will be just like left in the dust by actual really capable mixed reality experiences so that you've got the AR and the VR and it's interchangeable and often happening, you know, at the same time. And that's the future. And I think they all know
so
that
you
and see that.
You want to augment your virtual reality.
Yeah. You want to augment your VR. Augmented VR, AVR, there you go, AVR, I've coined it. But like the closer we got to the fidelity, that happened really fast in relative terms. Like just a couple of years and we are now running on chips, even the portable devices are running on chips that are extremely capable, fast, throughput is great. Like you're just having an amazing visual experience and it's all those things. Hand tracking and, you know, no tethering and no devices to tell you where you are, all that stuff. We've done that really quickly. Now the quick iteration needs to be make this stuff not weigh 2 pounds and make it not a giant thing on my head. and make those controllers no longer needed. Make it so it knows what my hands are and where they are and what they're doing. And the Quest 2 does this, by the way. It has really great hand tracking. Not everything supports it, but there was a future where hand tracking is all you do. Like, get to that point, and it's smart enough to just be like, imagine with your phone right now, you're like, well, I need to look something up. You pull it up and you literally say something and it gives you an answer. Okay, cool. And you just put it away and you're done. And you don't even think about it. This needs to be the future where you're just kind of walking around and you tap the side of the thing and say, show me my shopping cart at Amazon, and opens up a big virtual room where you can just like reach out, grab a box, stick it here, take a box out and say, I don't want those anymore. Like physically interact in those worlds. Then you're talking. And if it's that easy for grandma to check her shopping list, then ergo, it should be super easy for the three of us to get into a big, massive world and play a bunch of video game shit, right?
I find the shopping aspect hilarious. Like, I think Meta is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
All right.
Like, I think that's, like, why? In what world is that easier than going on my goddamn phone and clicking the thing I want and buying it?
Well, like, people said that about then, your phones also, when they had their computers, and they said, well, why is this phone way of shopping any better than me just getting on my desktop and doing it? And look at us now. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying
it is easy, as opposed to I have to now wave my hands around to buy a shirt on Target.com. Like, why? I already don't want to go to Target, which I do, by the way. I always want to go to Target.
Yeah, I like
Target. So, like, I don't see that. Like, we do it on the phone because it is easier. It fits in our pocket. We don't need to carry around a laptop bag anymore because we've got a glass rectangle that does everything we need it to do.
Yeah, but imagine a future where, and some of this is happening now with VR. Like, okay, I'm aware of, I wish I knew the name so I could look it up and show you guys the video, but there's a restaurant who basically has an app that in VR you can go look at their restaurant and space within that restaurant in 3D, so you can get an idea of whether you like the place or not. But also, they have every possible menu item out rendered in full 3D and in super high resolution, like some kind of weird macro tech that lets or micro tech that lets you get like right up into the food and like look at it and say, yeah, that's the thing I want.
You eat your meal though? Like,
it's not. It's not.
Your steak? Yeah, man. My favorite local Chinese takeout place can totally afford this bullshit. It sounds great. It sounds really scalable.
Yeah, no, like, no, I'm fully I'm on board with the skepticism about this. But that's why I'm excited about it, because these things tend to lead to what will actually be practical. Whether it is now or not, like, for example, people know my opinion on NFTs. It's a freaking scammy mess right now. But there is a future where that technology makes sense. We're just not there yet. Back when credit cards first started being a thing online, it was a scammy mess. But we figured it out and we got there. And now we all trust it. Like, I'm not saying that me zooming into food and looking at it in that way is maybe neat, but is it really that useful or practical? Probably not. But whatever that step may lead to, I think that's how this stuff gets better, is we got to iterate sometimes in wacky ways, you know?
Yeah. To me, it's like, do you want to have a conversation about the tech is cool, or do you want to have a conversation about like the tech is useful? Because I think cool tech and useful tech are two very different things. And I think what you just described with the food stuff, like, yeah, that's cool, but I'm still going to get a burger from Burger King that looks like they put all of the ingredients in the bag and shook it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. You're right. Like, it's not going to actually improve the real world reaction. But imagine this. Let's say the three of us worked at the same company. And also, it doesn't hurt that we're in a pandemic where this actually makes a little more sense. But let's just say we work in a company. The three of us are working together at the Instance.net headquarters. And you're in Florida, I'm here, and Jocelyn's up in Canada. And if these things are this small, and they're on my head right now. Jocelyn's sitting right here with me. Garrett's sitting right on this side with me. And we're literally talking as if you're here. And I mean in a very meaningful way. I don't mean Zoom calls. Those are iterations, but I don't mean that. I mean like you're hearing me in three-dimensional sound. It sounds like I'm coming from your left. I'm handing you a thing that I've been working on. I've been drawing, let's say. And my real hand from my drawing tablet just takes it and swipes that paper over to Jocelyn, who then just snatches it out of the air and goes, oh yeah, I really like this. This is awesome. Okay, let's go ahead and get this going. And she gets up and does something or whatever. And we're doing this in whatever setting we want. And it's as real as if we were all sitting there. It's very sci-fi, but I am telling you, that's where this is headed. And I think there's something to it, man. And I think gaming, back to the whole gaming point, which is why we're here, gaming can benefit from that kind of vision. Experiences we're not even thinking of right now that we could have in cooperative settings or competitive settings or whatever. And some of what leads me to think that this is going to accelerate is last year's numbers. So check this out. The VR market size in 2021 reached $4.8 billion. That's a lot. I remember when the entire games business was like under a billion. It wasn't that long ago. VR gaming.
Petrus Farm remembers.
Yeah, Petrus Farm. They always remember. VR gaming market size in 2021, $1.4 billion USD. And that's just gaming. So that's pretty high. VR headset unit sales in 2021, 6 million units sold. Now, that may not sound like a lot for 8 billion people on the planet, but these are pretty big growth numbers. Probably some of it spurred on by the pandemic. A lot of it spurred on by prices getting less. Those Meta devices aren't that expensive. You get a nice VR headset for $299.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, because when VR first hit, I was really excited about it. Funny enough, now I have one. I still haven't done this. I really wanted to play racing games in VR.
Right.
But I just want to sit down and go. I don't want to try and launching a lot of the racing games that support VR is not easy.
No, it's not. And it's also not easy.
I think a lot more of that is like Assetto Corsa is kind of a god awful user experience. that game has its own issues with being a user experience. So
yeah.
I'm not going to blame VR on that. But yeah, I mean, it has gotten way more accessible from a price standpoint.
Yeah.
But yeah, your sci-fi, just self-admitted sci-fi descriptor, like that does sound awesome. Like that does sound like, yeah, if all of that is true and it's a smaller form factor and it is as convenient as keeping a pair of sunglasses on my head, which I do constantly when I'm not in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I
have a pair of glasses
so
all the time
for this.
The other thing
it's
is
just as it is now, I think it's still very niche. It's a $4 billion niche.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Like that's absolutely, which is why I think it's getting why this uptick in interest and why every big tech company on this planet, and even some who are not technically big tech, they are all working to get a piece of this upcoming pie because they all believe that pie is coming. And I don't think they're wrong. I think that pie is hurtling at us at incredible speed and that they want to be the ones that do it. That opens up a whole nother issue about the idea of a metaverse should be that everything connects to everything. Think of it as the internet. It doesn't matter what browser I use. I could use Brave or Chrome or Safari or anybody else's browser to interface in there and use it. Free stuff, paid for stuff, whatever. Any browser will let me get on the internet and view what I need to view. Going from one page to another is as simple as new address or a link or a tab, bam, I'm at the other place. So one second I was on Amazon.com, the next second I'm on Twitter.com. That kind of connectivity and everyone is everywhere and we're all just a click away from each other, that's what this quote-unquote metaverse needs to be. It can't be someone owns it all. That's antithetical to the point of it. It can't be that Apple owned it all or Meta owns it all or whoever is the big player in the hardware side cannot also be the giant player with a locked in garden. It has to be everybody connects to everybody all the time. And literally it means that I'm in an MMO, Garrett's in a racing game, and Jocelyn's playing the sixth sequel to Sea of Thieves. Okay. We're all playing it and we're all separately playing those games. But then I get a wild hair and I'm like, oh, I need to talk to Garrett real quick. I need to be able to portal not even leave my game, but portal right over to where Garrett's at, literally sit in his passenger seat in his driving game and go, hey, dude, what's up? Oh, I'm just driving. Yeah, no, I know.
And I go,
it might freak you out a little bit. It'd probably let you know I'm coming and you would have control over whether anybody could ever do that. But the point is, like, it's that kind of crossover this needs to be. Not everybody is separate with their own cool plan and you're only in Google land or you're in Apple land or you're in some other land. Like that is not what I want. I want a big interoperable thing. So there's still lots of individual cool places to be and do, but we're dealing with a standard like the web did where those standards allow it all to be cross-linked, all to be reachable from wherever you are at any given time. That's the future. And I think gaming-wise, that has crazy implications. But I also think greedy corporations who make video games don't like what I'm saying. They want to be the place.
I was going to say, there's so many issues with like cross-compatibility and cross-platform and getting everybody on the same page, in specifically in gaming right now, that like, I don't know, man. Sounds like a pipe dream you're talking about, where nobody owns anything. I think everyone's going to want to own their own little space and make you pay to get into it.
Yeah, which is really annoying, given the fact that this entire gaming world we live in now, and the entire, well, let's look at it this way. We'll keep it simple. The way the web works now is genius, in that because it was open and free from the get-go, and people like Tim Berners-Lee didn't try to copyright the World Wide Web and all that, and then be the guy you had to go through to do anything. It was a brilliant move. It probably cost him billions, maybe trillions of dollars in revenue, because he could have been the richest person in the history of the planet. But he didn't do it. And I'll always admire that he didn't do it, because by that happening, it made it possible and paved the way for all these people to even exist. All of these big innovators in web space don't exist. Facebooks don't exist. Twitters don't exist. Amazon doesn't exist. Yahoo, Google, all of them. They don't exist without that platform that was already there and laid out. And then all they had to do is say, well, now we have the platform. What can we do with it? If that's not the thinking heading into this next phase, and I agree with you, it probably isn't. That's why I'm so depressed about it. But if they would, it would be the best for humanity. Not to have somebody control it centrally. That's the worst idea. The best part about the internet is that it doesn't have that kind of control. And even when big governments try to do that in China and others, there's ways around it. If everybody wants this to be their AOL, because there were times where people were trying to lock it down, right? AOL is an exact example of this. And they were very successful, but ultimately it didn't hold, because nobody wants to be stuck in that place and never be able to go anywhere else. I think that has to happen for this to be as amazing as it could be. And if it doesn't, we're a little bit screwed. And unfortunately, I agree with you that that's how people are going to want it to be. They're going to want your money, your devotion, your brand loyalty, and they're not thinking about open standards. And they need to. I hope this is our cyberpunk moment, you guys. Developers and little people like us, we got to figure out a way to hang on to it and control it from the bottom, because the top does not want an open system that they just get to glom onto. They want to control the system and make everybody else do it. So I don't want regulation in the VR verse. Double bird to that. All right, Garrett, you were going to say something. I cut you off. I didn't mean to. What were you going to say?
I guess I don't mean to be the old man on his porch yelling, "Get off my lawn, VR," today, but you mentioned like I stand to be convinced that like, a more visual representation of connectivity is worth a lot.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, I mean, yeah, what you said is cool. Again, it's cool tech, but like, also, I don't know. I kind of enjoyed COVID. I like people leaving me the hell alone. I don't want to be that accessible constantly all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what if you,
as it is, one of my favorite features is hide offline when I play games. Like I just let me game in peace. I don't need to always be reachable.
But in theory, you should that this would allow for you to do that and continue to do that with ease. Like the idea isn't that suddenly you're now virtually everywhere in all places and everybody has access to you. The idea is that you would still control all the levels of that. But if you wanted to be at a party, you could be. If you wanted to be playing an MMO with 20 friends, you could be. If you want to be soloing, you could be. And all of that stuff is as easy as, you know, literally waving a hand at a button that says show offline, and no one knows you're there. Like I think
I can click a button that says show offline.
You're right. But
Garrett, why click when you can wave?
Yeah. So this is the thing, is like, I stand to be convinced. No one's been able to put it in like a quantifiable positive, you know, pros and cons for me. Like, it's just like, I feel like, it in my brain, it eventually devolves into, but it would just be cool. And I'm like, that's fine. I don't see why it's better than how we currently operate.
It does. You do sound like an old man. No, I'm just kidding. You don't. I think it's actually a reasonable stance, and I don't think it's proven itself yet. But if I've learned anything in my lifetime, it's that none of this makes sense until it does. And there are things I do online right now, including this, that seem like us recording right now and showing three videos at once and then broadcasting that out to one video and everyone seeing it in a 30 frame 1080p screen and animation going on and me plugging sound into it. All the things we're doing right now would have seemed like laughably impossible 20 years ago. And that wasn't that long ago. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm not any more convinced than anyone else that our gaming future is 100% in this new meta space, this virtual world. But I am willing to say that I really don't know. Like, I don't know. And I don't want to be that guy at the end of it going, "Bah, we had keyboards and mouse and it was fine." I just don't want to be that guy because I want to be able to benefit from whatever these new things are. And who knows, maybe all this kicks him and we're dead anyway and it won't matter. You know? Like,
okay, well, thank you for finding a more negative take than me today. I don't mean
suddenly. I mean, you know, we just age out before any of this really gloms on, but
well, yeah, I can't believe I haven't had a chance to just make the joke that I find it hilarious that the company whose primary user base is old people are the ones trying to spearhead and make VR a thing, because like until it is easy enough for my grandma to use, I don't think it's really going to pop off and become a standard.
Well, that goes to my whole point of like it's almost an accident that Meta, now a parent company, Facebook a subsidiary, and Meta's, you know, making everything around that. It's in some ways it's kind of doesn't mean anything, and in some ways it means a lot of things bank wise, but.
I mean, it certainly adds to my skepticism of like your hope for this more utopian science fiction future, which I would love to see. But it's like if it's being spearheaded right now by what I think is one of the most evil tech corporations currently in existence.
Yeah,
it's like
this is the problem, right? Like it's almost like a pure accident that it's all about money and who bought who. But the Oculus, both history and current state of things, Oculus now Meta, they're the best thing on the market. Straight up, and they're selling the most of the market. It just so happens that I don't know if you could say they got lucky, but they happen to be at the forefront of sales and adoption, and they also suck.
Well, yeah, so, well, it wasn't always that, right? Like, because they acquired Oculus. Oculus was doing it right, like the soonest.
Yeah, they were.
They were really firing on all cylinders, and they got acquired by Facebook.
Right. And now, no, and then the nice thing is the Facebook, like, oh, you got to have a Facebook account, whole thing that started with Meta 2, that's going away now. Now you don't have to do that. So I think Meta, part of this Meta thing is for them to try to separate that from themselves. But I also think they're kind of feeling desperate. They are a huge company worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. But I think they're a little bit nervous because their way is what I'm talking about, where it seems fine to go connect with your family and say things on a social network. That stuff, I think, has got a limited shelf life. And I don't think that I think they are probably, in a corporate way, being very smart about extending this direction. They also happen to be really sketchy and weird. And I'm totally with you where you're coming from. So it's
they won't only own like my conversations and everything I say and do, but also all my body movements.
Oh no.
How are they going to use that?
Yeah, no kidding.
They're going to know how bad I am at the Macarena. Gonna suck.
I mean,
I don't trust them at all.
And it does come back down to like right now anyway, this is how we have to go with it, right? Because let's say Apple puts out a headset. I like Apple stuff. I'm a fan. I would be way more stoked about something they're doing. A lot of people I know doesn't like Apple, and they would feel the same way as you guys do about Meta. So still have that
compartmentalization, right? It's that issue of like, well, it's yes, Apple makes good products, which I think they do, even though I don't use their computers anymore. But then I go, cool, well, I won't be using this for gaming because it's Apple. And you know, maybe if you're a primarily mobile gamer, you'll have a different reaction. But I'm not. I'm a primarily PC and console player. And
sure, it would Apple take a lot to change your opinion. Yeah, your impression of that would have to change, and they would have to do a lot to change that. I totally get it. Like if Google did it, I would be very skeptical because of the way they use personal information.
I would trust Apple a lot more to handle the more social aspects of everything you've talked about today.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they've earned some of that with their privacy stuff, right? Like they've earned some of that. And
to a certain degree, get advertised tacos when I talk about Taco Bell. It's on my phone. So, I mean,
no matter what, they all want our info in some form.
Privacy is relative.
Can I get a phone without a microphone?
Yeah.
Like, I don't use it for calls.
Plus, there's
That's
this whole
the
thing.
iPod Touch.
Yeah, exactly. There's this whole thing though, like. Do you remember that? That was a big deal for a while.
I had one, and I remember he had one when I had my first iPhone, and I like grabbed it to like play some music in his car. I'm like, this is so delightfully thin. Why can't my phone be like this?
Yeah. You're like, well, because phones have a lot of other stuff in them, it turns out.
Well, and now they're basically about the size, I think, the thickness of an iPod Touch back in the day.
Yeah, I don't think they make those now, do they? I think that stopped.
I don't think they make anything iPod branded anymore.
No, but again, that was like a weird stepping stone. And in their case, it was a smaller perspective of a stepping stone. But that's how I see all of this stuff. And our brand loyalties these days are going to play a part. Those brands being willing to change from what they are and who they are will play a part. Like all of this stuff is unknown. And I find it fascinating and weird. And I'm stoked to just kind of watch it evolve. But as a gamer, I don't know what that future looks like yet, but I want to be here for it when it happens. Whatever that looks
another
like.
Another sidebar, they still make iPod Touches. You can buy one right now.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Apple.com/iPod Touch. Oh,
really?
My God.
Oh, I'm surprised.
They still make these.
I thought that was like a blast from the mid-2000s past.
My mind is blown. I mean, this is like legitimately. Can I buy these with a SIM card?
I don't know. Let's see. Oh, yeah, look at these.
Apple, sell this to me with a SIM card.
I mean, these are... When's the last time they did these? It's been a while because they still use the button. They don't have the, the fuller screen.
It has the button?
Yeah, it's got the button. up to 256 gigabytes of storage. The Apple Music subscription works there, too. Let's see. You load the songs. So, yeah, they still... And it's a 4-inch Retina display. They still have it.
I don't need a microphone. I don't make calls, and I don't want my phone listening to me.
Yeah, that's weird.
You just want internet connectivity on your MP3 player.
Well, and the other thing these companies and game companies are going to have to reckon with is they're going to have to reckon with people who just want what you just said. I just want this, and then they're going to have to be able to adhere to that. They cannot say that's why I hated the Zuckerberg presentation so much, because it was like, this is how you're going to do everything. No, you don't know what I'm going to do. You have no idea what I want to do. So what you got to do is make a big open...
No one less in touch with humanity than Zuckerberg.
Yeah. So if you want me to do things, you got to let me do the things I want to do. Just like now, I customize all my interfaces with technology and connectivity. All of it. All the way down to how do I skin my browser to how do I dump my trash out of my desktop every day? Like there's ways I do things that others don't. So what you do is you give them an open playing field and then let people do what they're going to do. And I'm telling you, if it doesn't play like the web, but in a big 3D interactive space, but plays like the web, we're screwed. I don't like that future. Not into it. Because then we're just branded up to the nozzle and it's all freaking Blade Runner all the time. Taco Bell and Millennium Man, or whatever the hell that was called. What's that movie called? Not Millennium Man. It's Sylvester Stallone. Demolition Man. With three shells in the bathroom and all that. All right. We'd love to hear your feedback. Send us your thoughts, your emails, your comments. We want to know what you think about the future of VR in gaming.
I legitimately don't know how people are going to react. I don't know if I'm going to get hate or I'm going to get a bunch of people like, oh, thank God you are the voice of reason. People like VR? I don't know if there's VR stands.
There are people who really, really like VR.
I think it's a fine, I like it as a gaming niche. That's where VR falls for me.
Our pal Jeff Cannata
it's available for people who want it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we all are curious to see innovation, right? But that doesn't mean we're all in on a thing yet. And I probably am coming off as like all in on whatever. I'm not necessarily. I'd like to see how it plays out. I'm more interested in that.
I think you're coming off as optimistic, which I think is a good thing.
I am optimistic about it. I think a lot of things just suss themselves out over time and even if it seems weird at one point, it usually swerves in our direction as a thing that we're meant to take part in a massive way. We're all supposed to be connected to a thing. It will go in our favor typically. I think the web did that. And every time someone tries to not do that, we all get really mad. I think that'll happen here. So we'll see. But send us your feedback. We'd love to know more about what you think. theinstance@gmail.com. Speaking of which, we got an email. I want to read this before we talk about the games we played. Connor T. wrote in, says, "Hey, Instance crew. I shared an elevator briefly with Bobby Kotick in downtown LA last week. And we didn't try, or sorry, and he, and while he didn't try and harass me directly, I had the distinct feeling he wasn't changed." Connor T. I just thought that was the weirdest email I've ever gotten.
That is the weirdest email, and I love it. Thank you, Connor T.
For sharing. Amazing.
This is Bobby, like you could just smell the down payment for his next yacht.
Yeah. I wanted to know so much more too about, like, what was it like? Was it quiet? Was he affable? Did you say Call of Duty sucks, quit making it, or, you know, like, what? I want to know more.
I'm just gonna yell at him,
like, you know, quit harassing women.
At this point, if I saw Bobby Kotick, I think I'd just be like, hey man, you suck.
Yeah. I feel like, what would I say? I don't know what I'd do. I don't know if I'd say that. I'd probably go.
I'd go. Going, I don't even know who you are.
I go. Had a rough year, did you? Or something like that. I don't know what I'd do. You know, just to see what his reaction would be. I'd be more subtle like that, I think.
You go, oh, you're the CEO of Call of Duty Presents.
Yeah, there it is. All right, games we played this week. I've been playing a lot of Loop Hero for some reason. Well, I know why. I gave it my game of the year for 2021. I love that game, and I'd forgotten just how much crack it is. So the crack is back, baby. I'm playing that game and looping my hero like a freak show. I still think it's the best game of last year, even though it's the most, like, uninspiring graphical 2D, you know, ass looking thing. They just know all that the scratches I need itched and made a video game out of it, and I love it. So play more Loop Hero, everybody. Jocelyn, you're back into ESO. Did you see the teaser?
I did see the teaser. Oh, I retweeted the crap out of that. I'm so excited. It looks like they're bringing, like, Sea of Thieves pirates into ESO. And I'm just like, why wouldn't we smoosh all the things that I love into one game? That sounds amazing.
The word is they say they're going where they've never gone before, which tells me this isn't going to be some throwback to a previous Elder Scrolls setting for the first time. So it'll be something new.
We're going somewhere. It'll be some island of some kind, another continent or something.
And those ships look piratey as shit. And the guy walking up and getting up on the thing is, it looks like a piratey sword, man. I'm in. Bring it. I'm getting back into ESO this year, and I didn't even think I was gonna, because I was like, well, whatever the next expansion, I'm sure I'll poke in, but I am very curious about it now. So
yeah, I think we've got a couple of weeks still till the actual, like, announcement day. But yeah, the teaser was pretty great.
It looked neat. If you guys haven't seen it, go check it out. It's very short, but
looking at it right now, and yeah, this just looks like Port Royal from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes,
yeah. That's what I want, dude.
That's not me downplaying anything. You couldn't do more to sell me on ESO.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, we got pirates now.
I just like that they're spreading their wings a bit and saying, well, let's make something new here. Like, we're not just gonna say, hey, remember Skyrim, we're going back there for a bit. Hey, remember Elders or Oblivion, this whole expansion's about,
I remember,
yeah, and
Morrowind. Yeah, you've kind of done them all.
And I like that stuff. I mean, I'm not complaining, but, and like, Somerset was something I wasn't familiar with, but it's, you know, it's part of the lore, but I loved that. And, you know, the my favorite expansions of that game have been the ones I knew the least about going in. So this is what that sounds like, and I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll see how that goes.
I tried to, I was going to play Subnautica, or I was going to play Below Zero, and then I was like, I never really finished the main game. I should try to do that. And then I didn't have, or like, I couldn't remember what I was doing or where I was in my playthrough. And I was like, oh man, I don't want to play all this. And then, so I was just looking on Steam, and I was like, hey, I've got the Skyrim, like, anniversary update or whatever. I'll go try to play that. And I played that for literally 5 minutes. I was like, why aren't I just playing ESO?
Yeah.
ESO is just this, but better.
It is. So I
just kind of loop back around, and
You get no argument from me.
Just can't wait.
No argument from me. I do that too. I'll, like, even load it up with mods and stuff. I'm like, all right, Skyrim, let's see where things are at, and I'll start playing it and go, or I could be playing ESO because it's really a really good version of this now, and it's a little tighter and cleaner and less janky and I don't know. It's too funny how that turned out, but ESO still got it, man. Garrett, speaking of MMOs, on to Heaven's Word with you, sir. How's it going?
I'm finally done with Realm Reborn.
Oh, good. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completed it.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, now it's time to start Heaven's Word. And then I took a detour. Our good friend John Jagger ran me through the Coils of Bahamut raid.
How'd that go?
That's a lot of lore. My brain hurts.
Yeah. I've heard that's cool, though. I've heard good things about
that. I did
it
the same day as I wrapped up A Realm Reborn. And so I had, like, finished, like, the Crystal Tower stuff and all. And Crystal Tower is a big lore dump. And then that night, John's like, hey, I got some time. You and Kyle, come with me. Let's go do Coils of Bahamut. And at the end of the night, I was just like, my brain is so full of Final Fantasy lore.
Yeah.
It was a lot to take in. But it's a really cool raid.
Yeah. So you're an expert now is the point. Right.
Oh yeah, totally. I am the most horrible and ill-informed Final Fantasy 14 expert on the web. YouTube.com/AMOTV. Go
check it out.
The worst Final Fantasy lore information you could ever find.
Speaking of learning things, what the hell is it called? E3 is being it's all digital this year. So they've decided to not do anything in person again for COVID reasons, Omicron reasons, and that's all you're going to get, but I'll bet there's some stuff we'll want to talk about coming up in June. So,
can I put on a headset and wave my hands at the virtual booth babes? Is that an option?
That is an option in theory. The other option is maybe this is how you do it. You get virtual Bobby Kotick up on a stage, and then you throw a virtual chair at him. You know.
Tomato, but sure, chairs.
Yeah, why not? Like wrestlers.
The man deserves at least one chair thrown at him.
Yeah, like wrestlers, like a folding chair, you know? It has to
hit him. I'm not saying it has to be guaranteed violence.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want it to hurt him, but I wouldn't mind if you had some haptic feedback on him that would, like, say, yeah, that guy.
I was going to say, you just want to hurt his avatar.
Yeah.
I just want to punch him in the virtual nuts, okay?
Yeah, can I do that? And then he would just feel, at home, Bobby would feel a little in his crotch. Or maybe I don't want to give him a little buzz in his crotch.
No, I don't want to give him a little. No.
Oh man.
Am I not gonna have another in person E3? Am I not gonna see Phil Spencer on stage again before he retires?
I don't know, man. I kind of hope. Well, he'll be on camera, but maybe not on stage. He better not retire. He's not talking about that, is he?
I thought he say he was going to be stepping down.
Oh, they need him. He needs to stay on as long as he can stay. I think he's really important to them right now. He can't leave yet. That's a bad idea.
I like Phil Spencer.
He's great. All right. Well, that's it, everybody. Thanks for joining us on today's show. I want to remind you that if you like what you hear here, you can support us on our brand new Patreon. It's not that new anymore. In fact, get in there now because you're a bunch of latecomers. Patreon.com/instance is where to go.
Shame people in the bank?
Yeah.
Definitely did.
You know how it goes. You gotta take a hard stance and really let it fly.
Listen, if you hate VR and think it's a bunch of junk, support us on Patreon. And if you love us, if you love VR, support us on Patreon.
Yeah.
Either way. Scott loves it. I'm a skeptic. And Joss throws up.
Yeah, Jocelyn vomits. So watch for our upcoming full episode, all in VR. Actually, I wouldn't mind trying that once. But anyway, we'll see. Patreon.com/instance is where you can do that. And there are many great reasons why. Throw us a buck and get cool extra content while you're at it. Patreon.com/instance. Anybody got anything cool going on this week? Jocelyn, I know you've been, it was a lot of charity streaming last month. But what now? What's going on with you?
That's a good question. I did have a lot of fun streaming on New Year's Eve, and I think so. I'm starting up my school starts again next week, so I'm going to kind of see how that goes. But I'm only taking one course this semester, so if I have enough free time, I would like to do some streaming because it was a lot of fun. I had a ton of fun streaming for the charity stuff as well as on New Year's. Like, actually, fun streaming Hearthstone. Like, that hasn't happened in a while. So
nice.
So I think I'm going to be doing that. So if you're interested, twitch.tv/JossPlays.
Yep. Joss plays everywhere, Twitter, all those places. So check her out. Hey, Garrett, what's up with you? What are you doing? You mentioned your YouTube thing. Maybe more.
The latest video that just went out 2 days ago is about Kyle and my experience going through Coils of Bahamut. Mm. We accidentally lied on our last video of the year saying the next video would be the end of A Realm Reborn video. But then we ran Coils of Bahamut and we're like, crap, there's a lot to talk about here. Yeah. So we did that instead. Mm. So yeah, it's up right now. You can see a bunch of footage of John carrying our dead floor tanking asses through Coils of Bahamut. And hear about, like, from the perspective of two new Final Fantasy 14 players, if we think it's worth going out of your way to either get carried through or putting together a group to see the story of Coils of Bahamut. That's nice. YouTube.com/AMOVETV. I'll throw a link in the chat.
Go check it out. That's going to do it for today's show. TheInstance.net is our website. @InstanceShow on Twitter. Don't forget our Twitter accounts either. Joss Plays, Garrett Art, and Scott Johnson. More shows like this at frogpants.com. And do check out Play Retro. I think you guys will really enjoy it. If you like old games, you're going to like it. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time. Whoops, why isn't that working? Hold on. That'll do it for us. Shit. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.